Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news. And when we come to Him by faith, He makes us alive in Him. And He comes to live inside of us, and all of our needs are met in Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. We have righteousness, right standing before God. We've been given a new identity. We are made new creatures in Christ. Everything that we've longed for, the deepest part of who we are, is met in Jesus Christ. He satisfies the hungers of our hearts and the thirst. He quenches those thirsts. And so we can stand secure in Him. And because of that, we don't have to be self-seeking in relationships. Love does not seek its own. It is not self-seeking. But those who are self-seeking and they bring that characteristic, that quality into relationships, they ruin relationships. That's not what love does. God so loved the world that He sent Jesus. If love was self-seeking, God would have never sent Jesus, and we would still be lost in sin. But we are recipients of that love, and all of our needs are met in Christ. That gives us a secure self-image that enables us to seek the interests of others. That's how this gospel works in practicality. That's how it works in day-to-day living. That's how it works in relationships. Sometimes we become self-seeking, and when we do, when we become self-seeking, that's when relationships start to go south.
Yeah.
I know many times we meet new people, and the first question we ask is, what's in it for me? How can this relationship benefit me? How can it benefit my business? How can it benefit my social life? How can it benefit my status in the community? We're looking at things in terms of how it's going to benefit me. Marketers, they embrace that fully. What they want to tell you is, this is how this product, this is how this service, this is how this thing can benefit you. And you listen and say, well, what's in it for me? Why should I buy that product? What is it going to do for me? That's who we are as people. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ can reverse that type of thinking in our hearts and minds and help us to really seek the interest and the needs of others. That's what love does. And that's why this gospel message is so vitally important to us in day-to-day living.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition. We encourage your call right now. If there's something you'd like to talk about or need to talk about, well, we'd like to discuss it with you. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Rockland, New York, and talk with Kelly listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you? God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling today. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Likewise. So I have a question, and my question is about the world system. I am married to a person who is constantly seeking through pastors' teachings on their interpretation of things I cannot find in the Bible, such as music genre, hip-hop, Disney World, the Illuminati, people's hidden agendas, dancing, etc. I've accepted Jesus Christ 6 years ago, and sometimes I feel like these things bring burdens into serving Christ, and sometimes I feel guilt if I then watch certain shows and want to do certain things as the ones I mentioned before. Is there anything that you can do to tell me, where do we draw the line?
Well, Kelly, that is a fine line for us to try to figure out, because as the Bible says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And it,
right.
And when it speaks of the world, it speaks of basically a philosophy. It's not talking about planet Earth and this solar system and all of those sort of things. It's talking about a world philosophy that really was brought to this planet by Satan himself. So it's a self-seeking philosophy. It's you know, you're the captain of your fate. You go live life the way you want to live it. Don't worry about others. It's that kind of philosophy, the very opposite of love. And so
right.
we have to recognize that. So Kelly, a lot of times, you know, folks will go to various conferences and, you know, at the end of it, they'll say, you know, I'm going to go and destroy all of my old rock and roll records, or I'm going to go and destroy all of this. And if they don't, they feel guilty about that. And
that's what happens to me.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's missing the big picture of the gospel message. The big picture of the gospel message is that you are now connected in relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. You have been brought into relationship because of the finished work of Jesus through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and you are invited into relationship with God the Father. So as you grow
Amen.
In your knowledge of God the Father, as the song says, the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and just let that process happen naturally as far as from a spiritual standpoint. So your focus doesn't necessarily have to be in stomping out sin in your life. Your focus needs to be in growing in your relationship with Christ, and that's going to help in the transformation process.
I totally agree. Some of the conversations we have had include things like that. When I say, well, I am in a relationship with Christ, I do fear the Lord. And when I feel that he's working with me, he's working in a gentle manner. Whereas when I hear these things, it's like, well, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. And then sometimes I'll be honest with you, then out of rebellion, or I feel like, you know what, then no, I'm not going to do it, because it feels like a burden to me in that way.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, and here's the reason for that. You have two ways of really living the Christian life, and we see this delineation in the New Testament. It's by law or by grace. We
Amen.
See Paul constantly drawing a line and saying, are you trying to approach God through law, through works? And that's what that means, a works-based approach to God. Or are you receiving under the grace of God? Are you being led by God's Spirit? And those two things are mutually exclusive. If you are trying to earn your way up the spiritual ladder, you're going to do that by works and human effort, or you're going to rest in the fact that you've already reached the highest rung because Christ has put you there by grace.
Right.
Two different things totally. So if sometimes when you feel guilty and you see that rebellious nature starting to show itself, it's because you've migrated over to kind of a works-based system. In other words, God's going to be pleased with me if I do X, Y, and Z, and he won't be pleased with me if I don't do X, Y, and Z.
I agree with you 100%.
So it's performance-based instead of grace-based. Big difference.
Correct. Thank you so much. I agree with you. I think that when I look in to the Bible and trying to get these answers from the Bible, I get what you're saying. So,
well, that's,
thank you.
You are so welcome, Kelly. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you this book, Love Is, because it really establishes that truth, that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It really establishes the fact that we are new covenant believers. that God initiated all the promises in Christ, and we are the heirs of those promises because we are in the family of God. And it gives us this new way of life, which is faith expressing itself in love. So I would love to send this to you. I think it would be a great resource and something that you can pass on as well.
Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you in Jesus' name.
Hey, thank you, Kelly. Thanks for your call today. You hang on.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who step up to help with the financial support of the ministry, we'd love to get a copy of Love Is into your hands as well. All you need to do to make your gift and request your copy is go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828.
Yes, indeed. Also want to mention what Kelly brings to the table today is such an important subject matter. I mean, it really gets down to the question, how are we supposed to live this Christian life? Well, that's one of the questions we're going to be discussing, answering at our upcoming conference in June 19th through the 21st. Stand 2014 is the name of the conference. We would love for you to come and be a part of it. We just visited the venue today, the Hope Center. It is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Indeed.
I mean, it's just worth the cost of admission just to be at the Hope Center. I mean, that is just a fabulous facility, and we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful time as we just rub shoulders, connect with one another, talk about what it means to walk by faith in Jesus Christ and how to live this Christian life and experience the abundance of life that we have in Him. So come be a part of that June 19th through the 21st, right here in Dallas, Texas. All the information is online, right, Bob?
Absolutely. It's Stand 2014 information and the opportunity to register online as well. So you can go there, stand2014.com, or you can link when you visit our website at basicgospel.net. Actually, they're both our websites, but either is good.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Santana listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Santana.
How's it going, guys? Real quick, I enjoyed the subject of what the sister asked. If you don't mind, can I ask a question, a follow-up question after my question?
Certainly.
Well, my first question is, does fasting give us spiritual power? Because Jesus said that we need to, he told his disciples that they need, at this time, go of not forth without prayer and fasting.
Well,
Santana,
the source of power is never in the things that we do. The source of power is Christ Himself. As Paul said, I want to experience the power of God, of resurrection. I want to live in the power of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. So God Himself is the source of power. And He gives us that power through His Spirit. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, for example. Here's a marvelous prayer, and I would encourage you to adopt it as a personal prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, it starts in verse 16. And here is what Paul was praying for the Ephesians. He said, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power. That's something that we need in life. We need power. And that power is through His Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So
Jesus was saying, you got to love and fast.
And what He was saying, Santana, is that it's not through the prayer and fasting that these demons were exorcised. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. And the prayer and fasting, Santana, are the very things that help put our eyes upon Jesus and to trust His power to work in and through us. Those things have no power in and of themselves. Those things get us focused away from the things of this world onto Jesus. And what those disciples were trying to do, they were trying to cast those demons out through their own power.
Yeah, exactly following what we're talking about today. They were self-centered. Their question to Jesus was, why couldn't we cast these out? Well, we can't cast things out. That's the Spirit's job. And so Jesus said, focus on me.
Okay. No, you know, I was just a little confused because I know they cast out demons before and, you know, and before in a couple of chapters. But my second question is it all right? It's okay for me to listen to Christian hip hop, correct? And I heard a lot of preachers say that Christian hip hop is wrong, but I think based on your explanation, I could listen to Christian hip hop.
Well, Santana, here's what I'm going to say to you in that regard. It is this: we're free. Jesus Christ has set us free. We are free to make decisions as we are led by the Spirit of God. So there is a freedom that we have in Christ that we did not have before. And it is a freedom to be led by the Spirit of God. And so when that freedom carries responsibility. And so we bring all of those decisions under this kind of framework of thinking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23, Paul wrote this, everything is permissible. So, Santana, it's permissible for you to listen to Christian hip-hop. That's what Paul is saying. And then he counters that by saying, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. It fits right into what we're talking about today. Lots of times we want to say to folks, hey, I am free to listen to whatever type of music I want to listen to, and I'm going to do it and no matter what you say. Well, with that, you're just basically seeking your own good. So you're looking at it through that framework. So I think we need to step back and say, is listening to this constructive? Is listening to this beneficial to me? Do I find it encouraging me? Do I find it uplifting me? Do I find it pushing me toward, the Jesus and helping me see him more clearly? In my day-to-day life, or is it fanning the flames of my flesh? And if we can answer that constructively and objectively, then we can say if something is good for us or not. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I definitely, I listen to music because it got Christian lyrics, so I understand. I'll just keep listening, and thanks for everything, I'm saying.
You're welcome, Santana. And my encouragement to you is let the Spirit lead you in that regard. That's always where the Bible is going to take you. Let the Spirit of God lead you. We're always looking for rules of thumb, aren't we?
Yeah.
So the question, is it okay to listen to Christian hip-hop? I think we're asking the wrong question because that's a question that comes out of a works-based mindset.
Yeah, there's a built-in comparison there that, based on criticism he and others have received, that some people say it's not okay to listen to a particular genre, but it is okay to listen to hymns or to classical music. Well, they've made a value judgment based on style, not on truth.
Right.
And if the way you described it, if it's pointing you to Jesus and uplifting you so that you are walking by faith in his grace, then who am I to judge the style?
Yeah,
it's the message and where it takes you.
And there's a lot of hymns out there
that are awful,
that are terrible, that are just absolutely pitiful.
And then there are some great ones.
Yeah, and it's not about the type of music underneath it. It's the lyrics. Mm-hmm. The lyrics that are legalistic in nature, that are putting us in bondage, that are putting us under condemnation. That's not the freedom that we have in Christ. Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's why Paul wrote so clearly and so purposefully and forcefully in saying that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have been brought out from underneath that. That's where the law left us. But through Christ's work on the cross, the fact that he died in our place, that he satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf, is the very thing that sets us free so that we can now walk in the newness of life, which is actually being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That's what this Christian life is all about. And when we know that truth, when we know that our sins have been totally forgiven, when we know that we have been declared righteous, as we were saying at the beginning, that's what puts our feet on solid ground where we can actually make ourselves available to God to express his love to others. That's what the gospel is all about.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I had a question from Kelly. She says, in my studies and listening to Basic Gospel, a thought came to me, and I want to be sure that it's correct. She says, in Christ, we are freely given redemption, justification, forgiveness, holiness, righteousness, sanctification, a new identity, and so forth. So we can't boast in our own works to earn these merits, but boast in him who gave it to us freely. Is that correct thinking?
Well, that's what the Word of God has to say.
Yes, I think that's what she was asking.
Yeah, so that's exactly...
Yeah, it's true because we said it. No, it has nothing to do with us.
Yes.
That's what the Word of God teaches.
Yeah, no boasting in anything other than God himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very end of that, it says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. And that's a quote from a passage in Jeremiah. So all that we have, all that we are, is a gift from God to us. It was his initiative. It comes from him to us. It flows in one direction. We're simply recipients, and we respond by faith. So if we have righteousness, it's because God has given us his righteousness. If we have wisdom, it's because we have Jesus who has become wisdom for us. If we have a new identity in Christ, it's because God has given us that new identity. If we have an inheritance that is being stored up for us in heaven and being protected by the very power of God, it's because God has chosen to do that. It's all grace. And we experience through faith. That's the way this Christian life works. So when we look at it, when we come to the end of our lives and we look back on where we've been through every single, decade of our lives, we have to come to the conclusion it was God from start to finish. It was grace from start to finish. And all we can do is boast in the Lord.
Absolutely. Great question, Kelly. Thank you for writing to us. Well, as you probably noticed, relationships can be challenging. For sure, they're going to test your beliefs and reveal a lot about what's going on inside of you. Yet, when there is unity, relationships can bring strength, meaning, and joy into your life. Still, your relationships will only find that unity and strength when they stand on the foundation of God's love for us. Once again, we're offering a great resource that will help you grow and live out the love of God in your relationships. Of course, it's Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, and it's yours with our thanks for your gift to help connect people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. Click the link at basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. Also, as Bob mentioned earlier in the broadcast, our Bible conference, Stand 2014, is coming up June 19th through the 21st, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and of course, Bob Christopher. Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. For information and registration, visit the website, stand2014.com. We hope that a lot of you folks outside the Dallas area will come and be a part of this. It's going to be a great time, and we hope that you can be with us. Well, this weekend, this coming Monday, we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis wishing you a safe and blessed Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you for a live edition on Tuesday. Bye-bye.